This morning, Tim, I love your beard, Tim. Every week, I just want to shout out to you. It's awesome. Again, I was telling the first service, every single time I'm preparing to preach a sermon, God always wants me to preach on the thing in the season of my life that I'm struggling with the most. And I'm like, God, why do you want me to speak on this right now? I'm not in the place. And he's like, because you're going to speak on it. And he's like, I'm going to walk through it with you. We're going to work through it together. And this is the word I have for the church. So I'm going to preach on what he wanted me to preach on. A few weeks back, I guess, maybe 3 weeks ago, well, see, first, my niece, Lucy, was entered into a contest. There was over 800 teenagers that were going to write a short play, about a 30-minute long play. And out of those 800, six were going to be chosen, and their play was going to be performed by Temple University College acting students in one of their theaters at Temple University. Six out of 800. My niece was one of them. She won the contest. Yeah, praise God. She's amazing. And me and Lisa had the opportunity to go there and to see this play performed, something that she wrote by a bunch of different actors and actresses, and they did a phenomenal job. And I was proud of her. But I had a hard time with what she wrote this play about and for her generation. To be in eighth grade, and the play was called Acceptance. And the play was a mother, a father, and two daughters. And the younger daughter was coming out about being a lesbian. And she was trying to get acceptance from her parents, but her parents were portrayed to be Christians or religious people. And it just was not a good portrayal of the compassion and the love that God put on Christians. And it really made us look like bad people. It made Christians out to be bad people. An eighth grader, this is what she's struggling with. This is the battle in her life right now in eighth grade. This is what that generation is dealing with. And my reaction was, honestly, was anger. And I'm getting angry at the people of influence in her life, the people that are leading her down this road. I'm getting angry at the lies and that God is being removed from schools. He's being removed from this generation. And it's bothering me. And I realize that, man, I'm angry at this and I'm angry at a few other things because we just went through a bunch of politics. We had an election. And I'm angry at Republicans and Democrats and all of these people. And I'm frustrated, and I have a voice, and I'm at a point where I want to be heard. I'm like, give me a microphone, give me a stage, I got something to say, because I'm angry at all of these people. I'm like on Facebook, ready to, you know, write out the message and hit that, like, forbidden send button when you know you shouldn't have said it. I was just, that's where I was at. And when I'm at that point, God said this to me. He said, that's not where your battle lies. And he said, you have come to the war, but you're not prepared for the battle. I showed up to church. I've come to church. I'm on the worship team. I work with the youth ministry. I listen to K-Love. I told the first service not during the fun drive, but I listen to it every other month of the year. I get my worship music in. I do all of those things. But the second that adversity came and what I was struggling with in my life, I'm here. But I wasn't prepared, because as soon as adversity came, my flesh acted out. My flesh responded to what was going on in my life. I didn't allow God to speak through me or the Holy Spirit to flow out of me. I let my flesh get the best of me, and I was angry. And I see this happen so many times with Christians in the church, and this is just the battle that I'm going through with people, but there are so many battles that we face, and so many times we're not prepared for the battle before us. For me, if I were to respond to what was going on and I went after my family members or whoever I was mad at, I would have lost. I would have lost the battle. I would have hurt people. I would have broken relationships in my life, and it would have been a terrible thing. And what the enemy was trying to do to me was trying to rob my compassion for people. Just like that. Not even expecting it. He's trying to rob my compassion. He's trying to rob my love. God gave us compassion. God gave it to us. He wants us to love people. And without even thinking, it was being removed from me, and he was hardening my heart. We need to understand who we are fighting and who this battle is against each and every day. And we're going to look at Ephesians 6:12 to find that out. It says this: "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." The spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. It's against the enemy of this world. See, our battle is not against Republicans. It's not against Democrats. It's not against immigrants. It's not against homosexuals. It's not against any of these things. God wants us to have compassion for people. What our battle is against the enemy. And we need to bind the devil in Jesus' name, because he needs to stop getting a foothold in our lives of everything drawing us away. That's who our battle lies against. It's not against your brother or your sister. We need to stop fighting each other and realizing and understand who our battle is against. We need to recognize the battle before us. We need to equip ourselves for that battle. And then we got to go. We got to step out as men and women of God. This world needs us. People need Jesus, and we need to be prepared for battle. And how do we do that? In the same text we read about the spiritual forces of evil, Paul tells us how to properly equip ourselves for battle. It's in Ephesians 6:10 through 17. It's titled The Armor of God. We're all very familiar with it. So if you take a moment and turn on your Bibles, open your Bibles, however you do it, flip the pages, and we're going to read that. No pages are flipping again, Phil. Can I get some fake pages? Somebody give me some pages. Thanks, John. Ephesians 6:10 through 17. You guys ready? "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Amen. It's a powerful scripture right there. All right, here we go. If you guys are taking notes, we're going to go through each part of that armor of God, the six things. And we're going to start with the first one. We need to put on the belt of truth. In John 14:6, we read, "Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And it is only through him that we come to God. He's eternal life. He is our God. We need to believe in him, and we need to understand the truth that we get from him." I remember that when I became a Christian, my first got saved almost 20 years ago now, when it first became so real for me, that I had the revelation and it finally became real that, wow, God is truth. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for my sins. And if I accept him, I get to spend eternity with him. My mind was blown away by the love of a father so powerful that he would love me so much. That truth entered into my mind. It was amazing. And as that truth entered in, the way I was living was also in there. I was reminded of those things, and it broke my heart, because now I'm experiencing truth, and all the lies that I lived and all the people that I hurt, broken relationships, all these things, these lies from the enemy, the life I was living, when truth came in, man, it was powerful to experience that. The enemy for years has tried to fill our minds with lies. All of these things, even before Christ, that's what we know. We live in a life full of lies. And when truth enters for the first time, we realize that. And the more truth that comes in, the more these lies start to leave our mind. And the more we love God, and the more we put our trust in God, and the more we believe in God, the more of the enemy lies get taken away, and the more of his lies get removed. He's going to continue to do it. Just because I gave my life to Jesus and we gave our lives to the Lord doesn't mean the enemy stops. He's going to constantly try and fill your mind with lies that you're not good enough and you can't do it, and, and what do you have to show for this world? And you're going to look in the mirror and you're going to get frustrated with yourself. We need to be able to determine and discern what are the lies from the enemy and what is good from God. The enemy is going to keep throwing lies, but because you have Christ, because of God in your life, you'll be able to now discern the lies that come in. And you'll be able to bind the enemy in Jesus' name. Every time a lie comes in, because of your closeness with God, because of your relationship, you're going to be able to tell what it is. You're going to be able to discern that lie. You'll be able to bind the enemy in Jesus' name. The enemy will continue to try and fill your mind. And as we get everything that is untruthful out of our lives, we become more and more like Jesus and safer from spiritual attacks. Don't allow the lies of the enemy to get a foothold in your life. Hold on to the truth of God. Discern those lies, and you stop them before they do damage and they take a foothold. Amen? The second thing, the breastplate of righteousness. To be righteous means to obey God's commandments and live in a way that is honorable to Him. Jesus makes us a new person created to desire godly things. Back to when I first got saved, I wanted more than anything to live that righteous life, to live the life that God had called me to. I wanted to be a righteous Christian. I wanted to obey His commandments and do all of these things. But I had a hard time. In the beginning of my walk with God, I wrestled because the world and my past was still trying to hold on. And I didn't want to walk away from my old friends. These were my best friends that I grew up with. But I knew that God has an amazing plan for my life, and He loves me, and He wants me to go with Him because He's got so much for me. And I wrestled with that. And my friends, what happened was, is I would go to church on Sunday and go to a party during the week. And I wasn't influencing my friends. My friends were influencing me. They were the ones doing damage in my life. I wasn't guarding my heart with the breastplate of righteousness. I wasn't making smart decisions about what I was doing in life. And I got to that point where I realized if I'm going to do this, then I have to, for a season, walk away from those friends, those brothers of mine that I grew up with, that I did everything with, and I had to walk away from them. And when I did that, man, it broke. I just fell so in love with God. I was so on fire with God because I had to give my whole life to Him. And I feel like this morning, if you're here, and maybe that's a struggle for you, this breastplate of righteousness, this guarding your heart, guarding your decisions is a struggle. Maybe it's because of something in your life, like me, that you have to walk away from, that you have to let go of, and run and grab a hold of God wholeheartedly, fully for Jesus. It's important for you guys to know that you don't have to take these steps alone. We have God on our side. And if we ask Him to give us the strength to live righteously, He's going to do it. We're going to say this a few times today. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is in you. You have the same power to walk away for a season from those friends, get your life right, or whatever it is that's holding you back, and be righteous for Jesus and fall totally in love with God. Amen? Third, the shoes of the gospel, spreading the gospel message. Evangelizing. Satan wants us to think that spreading the good news is a hopeless task, that the size of the task is too big. There's so many people that need Jesus. What can I possibly do? What do I possibly have to offer? He puts all those things in your mind. You can't do it. You're not good enough. You're just, what can you do by yourself in this world of so many people that need Jesus? Forget the world. We struggle sometimes with what we could do in Broomall, in Delaware County, because it seems so large, and the enemy is putting lies in our mind that we don't have what it takes to make a difference for God. But you do have what it takes to make a difference with God, because you have the power of Christ flowing through you each and every day. And you need to bind the enemy and not allow him to take that foothold in your life. You need to preach the gospel. Back in 2002, I was very young, much younger than I am now, because I'm so old now. I went on a missions trip to, we started in Austria, we went to Slovakia, went into the Ukraine, three cities in Russia, one trip. We were doing all this stuff. I went with a group of people, amazing group of people, and when we got there, It was amazing, and it was powerful. Man, we were doing things of God, and God was showing up, and ministry was happening, and people were getting saved. We were preaching the gospel message. We had our feet fitted in that, and we were just running for it. We were going for it. But it's a long trip. We had 24-hour train rides through the night in these little tiny, rooms that four of us, we barely fit in there. We had to race to each train, throw our luggage on, make sure nobody got left behind on the train tracks. And it just got really challenging. And we got really tired. The language kept changing because we're going from country to country. And the enemy started with his lies. What are you guys doing here? Why are you in this country? You don't have what it takes. You're not making a difference. Look at you. You guys are exhausted. What can you possibly do? You don't have the strength to preach the gospel. And we were exhausted and tired, and that's where a decision has to be made. We had the decision. We could allow the enemy to set those lies in our mind, and we can just continue on with the trip, fly home, big deal. I was in Russia. How cool was that? But that's not what we came there for. That's not what we wanted to do. So we had to fight. And we had to get together as a group. We had to bind the enemy in Jesus' name. We had to worship God. We had to read the word of God, and we had to go after it. The enemy was no way was he going to take a foothold and ruin what God set us forth to do. He doesn't have the authority to do that when you make God the center of your lives. And we cried out to God. And man, when we did that, all of that stuff was lifted off of us, and we had major breakthrough in all of these countries. It was the most powerful worship service I was ever a part of. It's actually the moment I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I'm like on the floor speaking in tongues. People are running around. People are getting healed. People are getting delivered. Just a few hours from we're ready to give up to crying out to God, in just a few hours, walls were being torn down, and chains were being broken, and people were being set free. Don't allow the enemy to get that foothold. You have a voice. God has called you to great things. Put on those shoes, dig your feet in, and you preach the gospel. You have a voice. It doesn't matter if you're one person or a whole team of people. God's got a plan for your life. Make a difference in your community. Amen? That's right, brother. The shield of faith. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for, an assurance about what we do not see. That faith is a confidence that we shall receive the good things for which we hope. Max Lucado says this: God never said that the journey would be easy, but he said that the arrival would be worthwhile. That the arrival would be worthwhile. Look, it's hard. It's challenging. But the faith we need to have is we need to understand and know that God created you in his image and that he's called you to great things, and we have to hold on to the good thing he has for us. He has something amazing for us, an inheritance for us. He's called you to all of this. We can't stand back. If we're blinded of all that God has for us, there's no way we're going to be able to move forward, because we're going to get discouraged. We're going to lose faith. We need to have the faith to know that God's got something for you that totally is going to help you step over those walls in your lives, the things that are holding you back, saying that you can't do it. Have the faith to know that God has something amazing for you, and it's going to be worthwhile. Isn't that an amazing thing? That God has something worthwhile. We can't even imagine or comprehend the greatness that God has for us. It's going to be awesome. I can only imagine. It's a great song. I can't wait to be there someday. 5. You guys with me? Just got 2 more to go. The helmet of salvation. Satan wants to make us doubt God, Jesus, and our salvation. The helmet protects our minds from doubting God's saving work for us. The brain is our command station. If it's damaged or compromised, it drastically affects how we live. A lot of you guys know that 1 year ago, yesterday, or the day before, right in that, my older brother Rob had a massive stroke. Up in PA, it's where they live. He wasn't found for over 4 hours. He probably should not even be here today. 1 year later, he still can't read, he still can't write, and he still can't talk. His brain was damaged. Listen, this could happen on a spiritual level. The things we bring in, the things we allow our mind to take in, it can spiritually cripple your mind, where you don't have a voice, or you can't read, you, any of these things, it could damage you spiritually. What are we watching on TV? Pornography has crippled men in the churches for years. We just keep bringing it in and watching it. Of course it does. What are the things we're listening to? I mean, how many of you guys binge on Netflix shows that maybe we shouldn't binge on Netflix? Got a couple of hands creeping up. A few. There they are. Look, I know Christian movies, the actors aren't that good yet. They're working on it. We're getting there. They're going to be better. But it's truth. There's truth in those movies, that, and the truth can set you free, right? We know that. Don't allow that stuff in. I know for myself, man, if I'm having a frustrating day, I'm like off with the worship, put on some of the old classic rock I used to listen to. I put on the Lynyrd Skynyrd, and I'm instantly at a pit party in New Jersey, like with my old friends. Just from listening to an old song, those memories start coming up because I'm allowing it to. We have access with our phones, tablets, everything now. XM radio, you can constantly have the Word of God or worship coming in, 24/7. There's no excuses to allow our mind to get distracted like that or get damaged like that. Guard our minds, amen? The last thing, the sword of the Spirit. Woo, the Bible. This is the biggest thing right here. This here is the only offensive attack we have against the enemy. It's a double-edged sword, the Word of God. We have to read the Word of God. The purpose of the sword of the Spirit, the Bible, is to make us strong and able to withstand the evil onslaughts of Satan, our enemy. You got to be in the Word of God every single day. But not just reading the Word of God. The enemy doesn't care if you have your Bible or not. He's going to attack you when you're without your Bible, when you're with your Bible. He's going to come after you. And if you don't have Scripture downloaded into your mind, if you don't have Scripture memorized, you're going to have a very hard time. You have to know the Word of God. We may not always have our Bibles with us, and the enemy may come at you. I can't tell you how many testimonies I've heard, and for myself, when I'm being attacked, and I speak Scripture against that attack, it instantly goes away. Because the Word is alive. The Word is powerful. How many testimonies have you heard of people that never even heard the gospel? All they did was open up the Bible, and their lives were radically transformed because they read the Word of God. The Bible is a powerful tool. It's our only tool. It's the offensive weapon, and we need to use it. We need to read it each and every day. We've established the type of battle we are fighting. We've equipped ourselves for what kind of battle. But just because you did that doesn't mean it's a guaranteed everyday thing. You have to constantly equip yourself. This armor of God was meant for us to do this every single day. To put on the armor of God every single day. But I understand that sometimes it could be hard, because we know that if we do that, and if we live that life, there's going to be sacrifice, which will require change in our lives. Maybe because we fall in love with Jesus, a family member is not going to want to be our family member anymore. Or maybe our friends aren't going to want to be our friends anymore because we fell in love with Jesus. We have to be ready to go to battle. You have to be ready. We can't allow those things to get in the way. Every day, we have to put on the armor of God. Even when the battle seems so big and impossible, we have to respond. I'm going to show you guys a quick clip, and then we're going to close it. They came to the battlefield. They showed up for this war. But when they got there, the English came. And they saw how vast their army was. How big this army was. And they thought, there was no way that we could win this battle. We don't stand a chance. There's so many of them and only so few of us. What can we possibly do? And they start to quit. They give up. And they start to walk away. They're leaving the battlefield until William Wallace shows up. And he just encourages them and challenges them. Yeah, they're bigger. The battle looks impossible. Are you willing this morning? He's saying to them, to fight this fight. So many of years from now, you can live in freedom. Is it worth your lives today? And they decided it was worth their lives today. And they went and they fought the battle and they won that battle. Church, this morning I'm bringing a challenge, the same thing. Is it willing? Are you willing this morning. I know the battle seems big, and it seems like we don't stand a chance at times. But are you willing to lay it all down for the gospel, for Jesus, for God, to fight this fight? We can make a difference in this world, but we have to be willing to lay our lives down for God each and every day. We have to put on the full armor of God. This world needs brave Christians. Not any Christian, a brave Christian. That's going to stand up for what they believe in. That's going to stand up for the gospel message. That's the challenge this morning. I want to be part of a church family that's willing to lay it all on the line, to sacrifice it all. You know what? So that your kids, so your grandkids, so your great-grandkids can understand what it means to love Jesus. Because this world is trying to destroy that generation by removing God from everything they know. And what chance do they have if we don't fight for them? What chance do they have if we don't bind the enemy in Jesus' name and rise up as an army that says, you're not going to have our schools. You're not going to have Delaware County. You're not going to have these kids. You're not going to have this generation. We have to cry out for all generations, for each other, to fight together. You want to see God move in this community? You want to see God, we sang, God of this city. You want to see God move in the city? Let's go. Let's fight this battle. It's enough of the enemy getting a foothold. I'm done with it. His lies and his deceit and making us think we ain't good enough. We are more than good enough because the God that created the heavens and the earth, that breathed stars from his mouth, created you, and he calls you amazing. He calls you amazing. And he loves you unconditionally. And he chose us because he has faith and confidence that we can get it done as his army. Stand together.
Years ago, 20 years ago, 80% of this nation said they believed in God. The most recent studies indicate that only 4% of Generation Z have a biblical mindset. We cannot say no. This morning, we cannot say no. We can't say no because the world needs it. We can't say no because Jesus has spoken to us this morning twice, very clearly. And we are to say yes. You don't say no to Jesus.